9 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
Second, you and I will talk about the hell of being trapped in a vacation home with another family. Now, weather, Dr. Dave.
There's only one place for Sterling every damn night. 1210 WPHT.
All right, it's 7 minutes past the hour. 7 minutes past the hour. That's a random jingle. It has nothing to do with the station you're listening on. Proud to be on this station, every station, any station. It's a miracle any way you look at it. Tonight, we're going to go over the most important subject of your youth. Were you Team Debbie? Yeah. Or Team Tiffany? But first, let's discuss the mistake you made this weekend. 4-day weekend. Thank you for letting me share this ride home with you where everybody's miserable. The air conditioning in the car isn't working quite right. There's one too many people in the back seat and 12 too many hours to get wherever you're going. This was the mistake. Oh, it'll be a fun ride. We'll have a good time. No, we don't need to check into a hotel halfway through. No, of course not. No, we have 5 drivers. We can all take turns. Yes, guess what? 4 of them won't take a turn. That's the miracle. But the biggest mistake that can possibly be made is only made in April, when you and I are itchy at home, anxious to plan a vacation, and we don't think it through. You said, oh, they want us to share their vacation house down the shore in Santa Monica, South Beach, San Pedro the Island. They are one of those. Maine. And you agreed. You said, all right, we will share a house with another family for the 4th of July weekend. Maybe the whole first week of July or the last 2 weeks, the last week of June, the first week of July, some dumb combination. And you agreed to share a house with another family. Is there a greater buzzkill for a vacation, rest, sex, than sharing a house with another family? What does it do? What does it mean? Well, first of all, it means you can't eat peanut butter out of the jar. Somebody will catch you. Even if, like me, you hide it behind the curtain, assuming no one will catch you hiding it behind the curtain, and then moments later, 10-year-olds discover it and go, what's this? And then you forgot the other part about the other family. You walk into the house and a giant beast jumps on you, the dog. It doesn't matter if that dog is 10 pounds or 100 pounds, it's the dog. And inevitably, dog owners say the same stupid thing. As that dog jumps on you, claws you, molests you in an inappropriate way, a way that if you did that at work, you would be out of work. The dog jumps up on you in an inappropriate way. And what does the dog owner say? What do they say every time? Oh, the dog likes you. What? The dog is mauling me, scratching me, threatening to bite me, sniffing me in inappropriate places that would call HR down immediately? The dog likes me? What if I don't like the dog? Does that thought ever cross a dog owner's mind? Does it ever cross a dog owner's mind?
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts. And let me ask the crowd, what did Trump do?
My pretty, and your little dog, too.
I don't like the dog. I don't want anything to do with the dog. I don't want the dog greeting me in the morning. But this is just the beginning of the list of reasons of hell that you and I go through if we make the dumb mistake of saying, well, sure, we can share a house with the other family. We like them. You won't like them at the end of 4 days. You sure as hell won't like them at the end of 7. You won't talk to them again until Christmas. And that's only cursory, only because your kids are friends with their kids. That's the only reason. That's the only reason that we share a house. It's a bad idea. The fastest way for me to not have a vacation is to share a house with any other family. It's nothing personal. It's nothing to do with my sister-in-law. Those stories will come later. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with there is no rest for the sharing. Those who share cannot rest. Your patterns don't match. Your circadian rhythms don't match. Certainly your housekeeping patterns don't match. And the hell of finding a bathroom that's private enough for you. It's a bad idea. And now, if you made the eternal mistake of going to the Jersey Shore and forgetting the most important thing, which is that the Jersey Shore, down the shore, I'm going to tell you this, Sacramento, 106 degrees right now, 106 degrees in Sacramento, Chicago, right now in Chicago, and in Kansas City, and boy, do we have a Kansas City story coming up. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this story. You won't believe what I'm about to tell you. You go to the Lake of the Ozarks, you don't have this problem. Santa Monica, you don't have this problem. Horse's Head in Northern California, you don't have these problems. San Padre Island, you don't have these problems. You ready? Only the Jersey Shore does not provide towels in the vacation homes. And in January, you had better book those towels, or else the mean lady who is located someplace we're not sure about, says the following. Oh my gosh, it's February 3rd. We're usually out of towels by now. Let me see what I can do. I don't know if I can get you 16 towels. How many people do you have?
We have five.
Oh, you only need six towels.
No, I need 16 towels.
Nah, six will do. Or else we're not going to have any. Or else I may not even have any now. I'm not kidding. If you go down the shore and you rent a house, that is your towel experience. Now, on Sunday night, you've had the dilemma. If you're on the West Coast, you haven't quite solved the dilemma yet, but if you're on the East Coast, you've solved it, and you and I are in the car already. There are those who have the wisdom to come home tomorrow, but those people have the shortcoming of having to wake up with farmers. Are you a farmer? No. Are you in the 5 a.m. club? I pray not. Is there anything dumber than, yes, everybody gets up at 5 a.m. and everything's better? What exactly is better at 5 a.m.? Nothing. Not a damn thing. 4-day experiences. Here's my phone number. I'm live. I demand that you call me. Let's talk, you and I. Here's my number. You ready? 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. I'll give it once more. 888-688-9258. You want to hear the Wicked Witch of the West again, do you?
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts. And let me ask the crowd, what did Trump do?
Oh, my gosh. Look at this. It's a live radio show. It's called Sterling Every Damn Night. Who's this? I'm Walter M. Sterling with you at 888-688-9258. Sterling Every Night.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
How is a 19-year-old supposed to put herself through medical school? Strippers on the loose later. Sterling. At night. Two dopes in the doghouse. In Georgia, people of Walmart, later, Sterling at night.
It's Dan and Becky Gaffney. Summer fun. Man, is it expensive.
Which is exactly why we don't have any.
Coming up on Sterling at Night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain how a chance encounter on a midnight shift pays off big dividends for a rookie cop. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by worthless podcasts.
Hey guys, here's a couple tricks that'll help you when you're growing tomatoes this year.
The most jingles, Sterling every night.
there's Billy listening on KXNT in Las Vegas at 888-688-WALT. Billy, welcome to Sterling Every Damn Night.
Every damn night, Walter. First time caller, a long time listener.
I'm honored by both facts. I will try to make this painless for you, and thank you for not saying thank you for taking my call. Oh, and turn off your radio, Billy. Turn off the radio.
Oh, the radio is off. And,
okay.
Thank you for taking my call.
I'm getting
it's 124 degrees on my thermometer, and the neighbors insist on going out to eat every Saturday and Sunday night. And they got dressed up this evening, and they piled into the van, and God knows where they go to eat. But at 124 degrees, I'm inside eating pretzels. And that's good enough for me and my significant other. I did want to say in closing that I think the Wicked Witch of the West or East said that he answered every single question. And that, to me, is amazing.
That he heard every single that listen, Billy, that he heard every question, I think, is a miracle, don't you?
Yeah, I didn't think about the hearing part
of
that.
I have a theory about this. Would you like to hear my theory? I've never heard anybody else say this theory. I don't know what all that noise is, Billy. What's all that noise? Is somebody talking to you?
Well, I'm on a landline.
Good. Good. Say no more. Good.
Quiet.
Good.
The Shih Tzu dog is eating its bone, and
that's what it is. It's the dog. Listen, my theory is this. After I say this, every time you see him from now on, think of this. I think his problem is that he is legally blind. I think that's the problem. Watch how he grabs things. Watch how he goes through a door. He always grabs the door frame. People guide him the way they would guide a blind person. He goes the wrong way. That's not dementia. That's blindness. I think he's blind. And there's not a damn thing wrong with it, and that'd be the easiest thing to admit to. You know what, Billy? I like you a lot. I hope you keep listening. Thank you for listening to KXNT in Las Vegas. It's 23 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. You smarties there at EMIS, you didn't think we were on in Vegas, did you? No, we've been on in Vegas since day one. We've been on over 100 stations since day one because all of those stations said, you know, it fits in because it doesn't fit in. But I had to get on a conference call with all these EMIS program directors, and they were judging whether or not to put this show on their media market stations. And I'm like, well, we're on many 50 clears like WPHT and KMOX, my God, and KFBK in Sacramento and WSB in Atlanta. Holy crow. Something must be going on here. Well, you know, we know this Rick guy goes, we know you want honest feedback. No, Rick, I never once mentioned anything about wanting honest feedback. I have no interest in that. I have to live in the delusion that this is fantastic. My manager, agent, I don't know if I should call him an agent or a manager. All I know is I'm damn grateful to have him. And when this started, he said, do you want to know the ratings? When I get the ratings every month. Do you want to know the ratings? No. No, absolutely not. I have absolutely not. I don't want to know the ratings. I don't want any honest feedback. I want to live in the delusion that this is an adequate radio show. Now, coming up, I'm going to ask you, which team were you on? Team Debbie? Yeah. Or Team Tiffany? WALT. Have you suffered through a 4-day of vacation hell where you thought this would be great and then it happened? Now, a couple things happen on vacation. Every significant other couple, be they married or not, or pretending to like the opposite sex, like Kylie Jenner and Timothée Chalamet, pretending to like each other. What is the deal with that? Timothy Chardonnay is 27 years old. He is a powerful actor in Hollywood. He can get any role he wants. He's in Dune, you know, Dune, the movie you didn't really want to see, and then you saw it and had to admit it was better than you thought, and that whole hand in the black box. Who needs to see that? Nobody needs to see that. But he's a big deal, right? And then Kylie Jenner, her father-mother is a big deal. But then she had all that work done on her face, and then what? She has two kids from a baby daddy. Do you think in real time, in the real world, that Timothy Chardonnay from Manhattan, from Hell's Kitchen in Manhattan, goes to The Tonight Show and is on it whenever he wants? At The Tonight Show, whenever somebody fails to show, Timothy can walk to the studio and they just call Timothy and he shows up. Nice deal. Well, do you really think that at 27 he's going to get engaged or live with a woman who has two tiny children from a baby daddy? I don't think Timothy Chardonnay is ever going to be a baby daddy. Do you? I don't think so. I'll tell you how that relationship's going to end. That relationship's going to end the minute one of those baby daddy children throws up on Timothy Chardonnay. The minute the baby daddy's kid throws up on Timothy Chardonnay, that will be the end of the relationship. It'll all be done.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts. And let me ask the crowd, what did Trump do?
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Loose skin and old balls? Gross.
888-688-WALT. Is that what you've suffered through this weekend? Did you actually agree to share a vacation home, a Vrbo, an Airbnb? Those are stupid, guys. You don't do that. With another family. I grew up in a house. Yes, an actual house, not a tent, not a lean-to. In an actual house in Maplewood, New Jersey. And when we went down the shore, my aunt and my other aunt, they would often go down the shore to LBI with us, but they rented their own house. We rented our own house. And then if we wanted to visit them for dinner or them visit us, we could do that. But then we scurried back to our own house and there was no friction. But if you're married or if you were the significant other, and you spend 4 or 5 days in a vacation home, I guarantee you, you will have a fight. You will have a fight either how you manage your mess relative to the other family, or how you manage your toilet relative to the other family, or that disgusting noise you make in the morning compared to the other family, or money. Because one family will have more money than the other. And therein lies the trouble. I caught holy hell this weekend. Holy heck. When my current bride said to me, are you paying somebody to mow the lawn? Yes. How much? I'll tell you in just seconds.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Frank Rizzo.
Put that on camera. You're a creep.
All right, what were you? Were you Team Debbie or Team Diffany? Coming up in just seconds. First, weather, Dr. Dave.
There's only one place for Sterling every damn night. 1210 WPHT.
Now, you see, when your station airs this show every damn night from 9 to midnight, as it should, your station will have custom jingles. What? Yes. Jingles just for this station. It seems reasonable. Have you been through hell the past 4 or 5 days? Here's what happens. When you share a home with another family, or you're trapped in a vacation home for 4 or 5 days that's too small. You ready? First of all, your significant other, your wife, or both, you will argue. You will probably argue about money because the other family will have more money than you. This has always been true. You don't actually know if they have more money than you, but it will seem that way. They'll be able to do extra things at the miniature golf. They'll have a second drink when you are saying, let's go home, because you can't afford a second drink. There you are, and you will get home, and at some point in the vacation home, you and your significant other, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, you will argue over money. I was in hell, because on Saturday morning, Friday morning, my wife said, are you paying somebody to mow the lawn? Now, a year ago, last season, for a variety of minor league medical reasons, I was not allowed to mow the lawn. It wasn't an option for me. I was raised by a man who did not believe that his wife should mow any lawn, and therefore she never did. And that's how I was raised, that you're there, buddy. Your job is to mow the lawn. Your job is to take in the car to the mechanic, and your job is to mow the lawn. It's not a sexist thing. It's just a courtesy. Can we get over this? Can we get beyond this, please? And I said, yes, I'm paying someone to mow the lawn. How much? How much? $30. How often? Once a month? Now, we rent. I'm in show business, so by federal law, by FCC law, I have to rent. And in the lease, it says that we will maintain the lawn. I happen to think that's stupid. It will never be my lawn. I can't take it with me. To me, I view it like the refrigerator. It's the landlord's, and therefore the landlord needs to take care of the refrigerator, even though with our last landlord, we wasted $380 fixing his stupid refrigerator. But I'll pay $30 a month to maintain the lawn and to keep the landlord off my butt, right? Oh, my gosh, you'd think I had bought myself a $4,000 Bersani suit. You'd think I had gone out and gotten a Porsche rather than being who I am and what I am, which is a responsible tenant, a thoughtful father. I also don't want my teenage girls to be pushing around a power mower, not because I don't think that's appropriate, because I don't trust them with a power mower. You know, I see the end of that story is they lose a toe. That's my life. They would lose a toe. That's why. So I caught holy hell. I said, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. We have to review everything like that. What do you mean like that? You spend that kind of money at a beautician, at CVS, at Rite Aid. Oh, my gosh. And I every day something comes from Amazon to her. Every day. Is that reviewed with me? No. But I spent $30 to get the lawn looking okay, good enough, hunky teenage guy mowing the lawn. I don't waste these homes. What does it deal with these homes? All my life, lawns were mowed by the kid in high school. And then I moved to a neighborhood where they have nothing to do, and they hire flotillas of equipment to mow the lawn. 3-4 trucks, flatbed trucks, many different types of mowers and equipment and a crew of 10 to mow a tiny lawn. Flotillas. And what do those flotillas do? They screw up the flow of the street. They screw up kids playing in the street. It's stupid. You to mow the lawn, you hire a hunky guy or a hunky girl, and you say, mow this and be sure you take out the weeds and get the trimmings out of here. Right? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. That's what I did. How could this be wrong? Why should I have to review a $30 expense for home maintenance, not a Briani suit, with my wife? Why would I have to do that? Stupid. They're my Midnight Misfits, Rosemary Furlong, Michael Garay, Neil Paul, Judy Paul, Beryl Kravitz. Oh, I love Beryl Kravitz. Ken Forbes, Ken Brandenburg, Jennifer Heident, Annie Knapp, and the Datz family in Pittman, New Jersey. Do you want to be a Midnight Misfit? Do you want to join these people? Do you want to hear your name on the radio because you're desperate? Go to waltersterlingshow.com, Walter Sterling, S-T-E-R, waltersterlingshow.com, and click on Midnight Misfit. Put in your name and you'll be able to download a Midnight Misfit decoder card. And the only way you will be able to decode secret messages that I give you is on the decoder card. Coming up in just seconds, you and I will review the news of the week of the toll roads in America. Big news from the Pennsylvania Turnpike, the Kansas Turnpike, and the California Transportation Commission. All of that coming up in just seconds. The hell and the corruption of America's toll roads. Disgusting, appalling, and not entertaining. All of that in you. Plus, you get to decide, are you Team Debbie or Team Diffany? And JB Bakery has an astonishing blueberry muffin recipe just for you. There's no other show like this. Rick at Emus. No other show like this. How your stations would have benefited. It's just remarkable. All right, I'm Walter M. Sterling. The name of this show is Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
How is a 19-year-old supposed to put herself through medical school? Strippers on the loose later. Sterling. At night, two dopes in the doghouse. In Georgia, people of Walmart. Later, Sterling at night.
It's Dan and Becky Gaffney. Summer fun. Man, is it expensive.
Which is exactly why we don't have any.
Coming up on Sterling at Night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain how a chance encounter on a midnight shift pays off big dividends for a rookie cop. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ashley Benson.
The last time I lied, I had plans and I canceled them. And I just said I was very sick and I wasn't, but I was also, you know, that happened.
Oh, Ashley, how could that happen? Selena and Steve the Baker at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Welcome to Sterling Every Damn Night. Happy 4th of July weekend. What was your biggest seller at the bakery this weekend?
Happy 4th of July weekend, Walter. Everything was great at the bakery this weekend. A little hot, but I did a lot of baking. People were happy to come in and get strawberry and cream donuts. We made New Jersey blueberry crumble donuts as well because it's blueberry season. And it's a big, giant donut filled with New Jersey blueberries topped with vanilla icing and a buttery oat crumb topping. That went really, really well. And also fresh baked pies for the holiday.
And you stayed open late. Hold on a sec. Sorry, it's my fault. You stayed open late tonight because it was so hot. People didn't want to come out.
Yeah, I saw some posts on Facebook. People were like closing early or not opening today. I was like, well, I'm working, so I'll post. I'm staying open late for all those people that were trapped in their homes and couldn't get out because of the heat and like to be out at night. I was busy. People came in. They were grateful that I was open. And, you know, we had some laughs and they got to try Chipwiches for, you know, because of Todd out. I make an ice cream Chipwich. Wow. And they got their favorite treat and gotten some air conditioning as well. So it went really, really well.
Do you or Selena have any friends who do not have air conditioning in their homes?
I delivered a cake over the weekend, and the woman that I delivered the cake to, she was having a party. She had no air conditioning, absolutely no air conditioning. She had a house full of fans everywhere, but she had no air conditioning. I didn't say anything. I just dropped off the cake and wished her good luck with the party. But that was amazing to me because it was almost 100 degrees in there.
Tell me that it wasn't an ice cream cake.
It was full of butter, so they had to eat it quick because it was going to be messy, but I'm sure they may do.
I don't get it. You see, there are people who have an image or an understanding of air conditioning from 1958 when the units weighed 800 pounds. They started at $850. They could collapse a window frame. Today, you can get a 5,000 or 6,000 BTU, which will do one 9x12 room, no problem, at Walmart for $135. It's light. You can install it yourself, no problem. And they're all super energy efficient. I have no idea why people don't turn on their air conditioners. I will confess to you and Selena, as embarrassing it is that we have a window air conditioner in every window, and they run all year. We run them all year for white noise, for because we're sad. We just run them all year, and I don't get it. I stayed at a house in Newtown not long ago, and I thought, well, maybe the host's bedroom has air conditioning. No, there was no air conditioner in that entire house. Like, how can you live? I don't get it. And I'll shut up. I will never understand why it isn't a federal law that if you want federal money as a school system, you had better damn well air condition every single room. That's a mystery to me. Now, you're making blueberry muffins, world-class blueberry muffins, and Stephen has provided a recipe. If you want Steve the Baker's recipe for blueberry muffins, all you have to do is send me an email, and I'll send it to you, and it comes with pictures of Selena. And the email's waltermsterling@gmail.com, and I will send you the recipe that Steve has shared with us about blueberry muffins. Having said that, what do these taste like, guys? What are these like?
Selena's got an awesome description of the blueberry.
Go ahead, Selena.
Yes, so blueberry muffins are actually one of my favorites. I know I used to make them all the time at home for my siblings, and it's pretty much just like one of the things that I would buy as a customer in a bakery. I tend to gravitate towards the muffins. I think if a bakery can do a muffin well, or if a baker at home can do a muffin well, I think that's a really good staple to have under your belt. So for all the Midnight Misfits, it's really a good thing. If you wanted to try one of our recipes, this is a good one to try. And it's really nice because it's soft. It's like that bakery style muffin, really light and fluffy, and not too sweet with the actual muffin itself, but it's got those New Jersey blueberries and that fresh fruit that we use. You can use frozen ones as well. And it just adds a really nice flavor, and a buttercrumb topping is just the best on top.
What I admire about JB Bakery, who, by the way, they do not pay for this time. This is known in marketing terms as earned media. What I admire is you're running a business. You took over this bakery, Steve, and you're running a business. Millions and millions of Midnight Misfits would like to run their own business or are running their own business. Most Americans work in businesses with fewer than 10 employees. Most Americans. How about a tip on being a successful business person?
Yeah, Walter, it's great to hear people are running their own businesses. I say get a team. First of all, get a wonderful, attractive partner to be with, you know, and run your business. That's a plus. That's a bonus. And there's always opportunity. Just got to show up. People have to show up. They have to get in front of customers. They have to get on the phone. And they have to build a team. You know, you can't have a sole. How is it a business if it's only one or two people? Business is multiple people. And with unemployment numbers, you know, what they're talking about in the news, people need to grow their businesses. They have to meet the demands. They have to get on the phone. They have to get in front of people. And they have to stay busy. Even if there's no money in the bank account, they have to get in front of people. They have to make business happen. Business just doesn't happen. They have to make it happen. That's my best advice.
Your best advice is to sell your product.
Sell
the product. It's amazing how many entrepreneurs, how many inventors are lousy at getting it in front of people. Steve the Baker and Selena the Ballerina at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Send me an email, and I will send you their recipe for blueberry muffins. My email is waltermsterling@gmail.com. waltermsterling@gmail.com, and I will send it out right to you along with zesty pictures of the two of them.
Look, I heard reindeer! Hear those sleigh bells, kids? They're coming for you! Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year!
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring ting tingling too.
All right, we have a lot of exciting news coming up about the scandal of the crooks who run the Pennsylvania Turnpike, the Kansas Turnpike, and the California Toll Commission. Yes, we have tollway news because We're thinking about the tolls right now. There should be no tolls. And you get to express your feelings. Are you Team Tiffany or Team Debbie Gibson? Who's this? What? I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling every damn night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
I'm Walter M. Sterling, and coming up, we have meteorologist weather from Dr. Dave Eisler.
WPHT. Ooh.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
Tales of living in our old house with our 8 kids and trying to have a little summer fun, going broke doing it.
Okay, but the thing is, really, we've had no summer fun. We went to one little parade where they happened to have games, which we didn't play, right. And we got really thirsty.
A small lemonade, $7.
We couldn't just buy one small lemonade because we were all dehydrated right. From walking down the parade route.
The large lemonade was $10. Now, keep in mind, this is that old-fashioned lemonade where they squeeze one lemon into the glass and then throw water and ice in it. $7.
For now, the small.
You're thinking, well, sugar is expensive. I tasted no sugar whatsoever.
I didn't either. My kids actually said, wow, this is really good. It's like a refreshing lemon water. Because, you know, we drink lemon water at home because you can't afford the sugar.
No sugar.
But it really was hardly anything in there, and it was $7. Now, look, I get
it. Yeah, so total, I had to buy lemonades for everybody. It's $50.
And we weren't
$50.
We weren't all there. It was just a few of us. It was $50. So we walked past all the games, all the food, and said, hope you guys enjoyed walking through and seeing all the stuff and smelling it.
Yeah. Well, a squirt gun game, $5 a play. What happened to, it used to be $1 at the most. What happened to $5? $5 a play.
Already get the whole idea that there is inflation, we're paying more for everything, but we just can't have fun. I think that's the conclusion that I have come to. We're not leaving the house.
I just read a story about a woman who went to a concert this summer. She bought M&Ms. $12. The other guy went to a famous amusement park, bought one Diet Coke, $9.38.
When you're there, I guess you're trapped and there's nothing you can do. We were not planning on being at the little festival part of the parade, but we had to walk around, go pick up our daughter. We ended up having to kind of walk through there, and it was hot, man. We needed a beverage.
This is why I remember my parents packing a cooler if we ever went to an amusement park.
When Cokes were 5 cents? I mean, it's totally not the same thing. Then it was amusing. There is nothing amusing about $50 lemonade. What I have discovered is that a Moscow Mule is going to be much cheaper. So instead of having any summer fun with the kids, babe, let's go get one of those.
Friend me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
If you're looking for me, you can find me on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky, Sterling at Night.
It's 10 minutes past the hour with the great James Copeland, a star of Coffeyville, Kansas. Reports have it that you were tortured by the legendary Lee Harris, head of News Nation and WGN, which should put me on, but instead they're going to put on Frank Moreno for reasons that are a mystery to me. Mr. Copeland, how may I help you today, sir?
Yes, well, I'm on my way back from Wisconsin right now, and I'm on the dreaded Kansas Turnpike, which has now gone cashless, so I'm here to tell you all about that.
Let's have, hold on, I actually have a copy about this. Kansas, one second here. Where'd it go? Mr. Copeland. It says the Kansas Turnpike Authority issued a news release announcing that its transition to a cashless collection system got off to a smooth start. We're pleased with how quickly the task of converting the roadway occurred, said Bruce Murr, KTA's cashless tolling project manager and technology director. Oh, my gosh. Is this true, James, on the Kansas Turnpike? Is it going smoothly?
Well, it didn't go very smoothly for me because the consequences are going to be rather great, I'm afraid, because I'm in a rental right now because my regular car, of course, wouldn't make the trip because I'm in radio. So I have there's a thing on the dash that's like a transponder or whatever that communicates, you know, with all this infrastructure that they've built everywhere. And so now if you don't have that, they'll take a picture of your plate and you pay twice what you pay if you get one of the stickers. So they jack up the rates for that. So if you're a poor person without the little sticker thing. So anyway, this car comes with the sticker thing. I'm thinking, great, I'm all good. I drive the whole thing, no problem. I'm in like Iowa and I look up and it says, if you'd like to use this the toll thing in this vehicle, please pull this area and it will pull it out. And I'm like, great, it is still inside its enclosure. So it did nothing. So now I'm on my way back and it's opened up. We'll see if it works. But I am fully expecting to get some sort of horrible bill in the mail in like 6 months about this. So that's where we're at right now. I mean, there's no toll booths anymore. And so I'm surprised the toll workers didn't put up some sort of a fight or a strike or something. So I didn't hear a peep from them.
I believe that is the key point. Like the union toll workers let this happen. I think what happened is they were told about it long ago, given huge severances to not complain, and maybe they're the ones who now stuff the bills into the envelopes.
It's very possible. And, two, it's kind of funny. So they have these big these giant signs that kind of go over the roadway with cameras and lights and all sorts of hoopla. And they have massive generators there and then fuel tanks and everything. So they could probably weather a very extended power outage and have no disruption in billing whatsoever. But the final thing that I'll leave you with, the kind of funny thing is, during this whole transition, the customer service for the Kansas Turnpike is unavailable.
Now, I don't know how far away you are from Coffeyville. Can you hear the signal of your giant radio station?
I can, yes. I'm a couple hundred miles away from Coffeyville, but I'm listening to the big show on the Mighty 690.
We're very honored to be on the Mighty 690. We love being on the Mighty 690. And you are a great morning host.
Well, thank you, sir, and you're doing a great show as always, so I'm glad I could be here and have a relevant comment here as I go through the darkness of the turnpike.
I look forward to you giving us updates on a regular basis about the cashless system of the Kansas Turnpike. Thank you very much, Mr. Copeland. The great James Copeland, morning host in Coffeyville, Kansas. Oh, what'd I do? No, we have to do it right. Why would I have potted down on that? I don't know. Here we go.
Jingles, stirring every night. The most jingles, stirring every night. The most jingles.
And there you have it. Now listen, the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission approved a 2025 rate hike and a new rate structure. That's right. The Pennsylvania Turnpike, the first turnpike in America to charge a toll, has come up with their 2025 rate structure. They didn't want to wait. They wanted it all lined up before their eight-month vacation. And the California Transportation Commission has approved more than $2 billion in new funding for Caltrans, announced that the California Transportation Commission approved $2 billion allocations totaling $483 million were made available through the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act and blah, 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 blah. The approved funding will support the next generation of transportation projects, ranging from bridge maintenance and rail system upgrades to enhanced railroad safety features and increased access for bicyclists and pedestrians. The Kansas Turnpike Authority, they've announced today, as planned, converting our back office, and preparing the new toll payment system is working out just fine, says Bruce Meesh, KTA's cashless tolling project manager and technology director. Now, there's a job. We'll go over these in more detail coming up in just seconds. The name of this show is Sterling Every Damn Night. My name is Walter M. Sterling. It's 16 past the hour at 888-688-WALT. That's my phone number, 888-688-9258.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
How is a 19-year-old supposed to put herself through medical school? Strippers on the loose later. Sterling. At night, two dopes in the doghouse. In Georgia, people of Walmart, later, Sterling at night.
It's Dan and Becky Gaffney. Summer fun. Man, is it expensive.
Which is exactly why we don't have any.
Coming up on Sterling at Night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain how a chance encounter on a midnight shift pays off big dividends for a rookie cop. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by career goals.
I want to be a gynecologist. If that's so, then I want good reasons why. You are the reason why, Miss Marquez.
It's the people of Walmart on Sterling tonight.
Nothing warms my cockles more than fireworks on the 4th of July. Listening to the firecrackers, seeing the smoke bombs, looking at the big displays many communities do throughout our country makes me proud to be an American. Two dopes, 120, 125 unidentified dopes decided to set off the fireworks in the Walmart. Yeah, the Walmart. Albany, Georgia. Wonderful place. And these two guys get arrested for disorderly conduct. Now, here's the good news. There was no damage to anything inside the Walmart. The linoleum stood up, as you'd expect, being Walmart. And what is dragged across that linoleum on a daily basis? It is an amazing thing. Fireworks, though, are best when they're fired outside. Light that fuse and get a long distance away and enjoy our country's independence. I stand for America. I stand for Walmart. Walmart, by the way, number one billing company in the entire world. Bigger than anybody. You name a big corporation, Walmart's bigger. Thus, you see some dopes like this. Sit down with your kids tonight. Sit down with your drunk friends and say, whatever you do in life, do not go into the Walmart and set off some firecrackers. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at Night.
All right. It's 23 past the hour. You and I are driving across Route 80 because you don't want to drive across the Pennsylvania Turnpike. I'm just looking at these, the new fees for 2025 through 2027 for the tolls. This is incredibly complicated, but if this is right, this is outrageous. The commission, that would be the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission, has come up with a fascinating fee structure. There will be a $1.09 fee will be charged each time you go through a toll plaza. But if you're a toll by plate customer, which means you don't have an easy pass, you're going to pay 14 cents a mile. Plus $2.18 for each time you pass a toll plaza. They pass to cover the costs of invoice processing. Well, you won't have any invoice processing if you don't have tolls. You can eliminate this expense brilliantly. It's going to be about 50% of passenger car drivers will pay a lower toll. Don't believe it. And about 84% of EasyPass users and 74% of toll by plate customers will pay increases of less than a dollar based on blah, blah, blah. That's a lot of baloney. Here's how it works again. Let me explain this because I don't get it. They're going to have a system on the Pennsylvania Turnpike that will have drivers of passenger cars use EasyPass pay 7 cents per mile plus $1.09 for each time they pass a toll. But if they're using the plate system, is that Meredith? Do you want to say hello?
Hello.
Meredith was the one who was in the accident. How are you feeling now?
I'm feeling okay, but I have a permanent scar on my wrist.
When do you suppose we're going to get that insurance check?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's amazing. Are you, you're healing all right, though?
Yes.
All right. All right, there's Meredith. Now, it says here that the toll-by-plate customers will pay a 14-cent mileage fee plus $2.18 for each time they pass a toll plaza or pass to cover the 14 cents a mile plus $2.18 every time they pass a toll plaza. Whoa, that's a lot. That's ridiculous. And what does it go for? Does it? Well, it goes to maintain the road. That's why the road's beautiful. No, the road sucks. And the western half of the Pennsylvania Turnpike is particularly horrible because it's always under construction. Always. It narrows down to one lane, maybe two without a shoulder for miles and miles and miles. And no construction worker. Just tolls, just cones and barriers and a lot of orange things. But I honestly have never seen a construction worker on the western half because they know nobody watches them. There's nobody from Philadelphia checking the western half. They haven't been through the Pennsylvania wilds, the worst place in the world. It doesn't go to maintain the road. You know what it goes for? You know what every penny of that toll goes for? It goes to pay off the bonds that were established in 2007. They're still paying off the debt, billions and billions in bonds that are used for what? What are they used for? To pour concrete. As long as they're pouring concrete, there's no problem. No problem. Hey, you're pouring concrete? It's not a problem. In California, the Californian Caltrans announced that the California Transportation Commission has approved more than $2 billion in funding to improve and maintain a transportation system that includes this, and improved access for pedestrians. What? Caltrans director says, increasing mobility for Californians demands a multimodal approach and prioritizes improved safety, system-wide resiliency and sustainability, equitable access, and continued support for the efficient movement of goods and services that help fuel the state's economic engine. In California, they're going to improve access for bicyclists and pedestrians. That's what the... How much is it? $2 billion. $2 billion in funding. The toll roads are crooked. You want to become president of the United States or governor of your state or mayor or freeholder of a county. All you have to do is campaign on something none of them have ever campaigned on. I will do everything I can to eliminate tolls. That's what you do. Because to most of us, our only flashpoint on any given day with the government is the toll. That's who we communicate with every day, the tolls. Eliminate the tolls, you're my hero. I'll vote for you no matter. I don't care about the party or how stupid your wife is or any of that. The 19-year-old just brought me coffee, and she brought it in a cup that says, hello.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by TikTok.
Boy math is when they need to leave the house by 5 o'clock. So at 4:59, they're literally ready to go. Like, they're literally ready. They just need to hop in the shower super quick. But other than that, they're literally ready to go.
Well, once again, Sterling and Sunday has started an important trend. Now the hottest trend in bookstores is just romance bookstores. Details coming up in seconds. No, it's far more exciting than it sounds. First, weather, Dr. Dave.
There's only one place for Sterling every night, 12:10. W-P-H-T.
Now, if you would like this show on your station every damn night, that's easy to do. Send a note an email, preferably angry, to the management of this station and say, gee, in Philadelphia, a bigger city than you, they're running Sterling every night from 9 to midnight. We would like to have it every night from 9 to midnight. It's a simple request. You don't want to have anybody named Frank on. That's silly. 107 in Sacramento. My gosh.
Hear those sleigh bells, kids? They're coming for you.
My gosh.
Merry Christmas.
My gosh.
And a happy new year.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling, too.
Did you watch that a-hole documentary on the cast of the Nickelodeon shows in the mid-2000s? Victorious, iCarly, Drake and Josh, the shows you really liked that they don't have on anymore. This is the cast of those shows singing their Christmas promo. Do they sound miserable to you? Do those kids sound miserable? They sound very happy to me.
Happy holidays from Nickelodeon.
Oh, who is that? That was Jeanette McCurdy. She sounded very happy. The flaw in that documentary called Quiet on the Set that's so appalling and uncalled on is two things. Through the third episode, it was a four-episode thing on Netflix. Four episodes. And then they made a fifth just to throw in more crap about Drake. And on the third episode, in silhouette, pretty much in silhouette, lit from rear, is this big woman in a short-sleeve blouse with a full-sleeve tattoo. And she's going on about Dan Schneider and white privilege and white male privilege and what happens when white men get to be in charge and when they're in charge of everything. Oh, my God. And I'm like, who is she? And then it says, in the lower left, lower third, it says, culture writer. Like, what? In Canada. Now, there's no culture in Canada. She's a culture writer in Canada. And she's going on about a white male producer in Hollywood. Was she ever on the set? No. Was she an executive producer on any show? No. Did she visit Nickelodeon? Did she interview any of the stars? No. She was just a culture editor in Canada. And then I looked her up. This woman, in every situation that she's in, because she is of mixed background, Afghanistan, India, American, Canadian, in every situation, she identifies differently. Claims that she has different backgrounds depending on where she is, which would be like with me, with your country club daughter, saying that I went to Harvard, or me being on an airplane and telling the person next to me that I'm a neurosurgeon just to keep it entertaining for 5 hours. Unless, of course, they say, is there a doctor on the plane? Because I didn't think it through. That could have happened. Hard to say. But this Canadian culture writer is doing this commentary on how the Nickelodeon shows in the 2000s were produced and keeps labeling it male privilege, male this. Like, what? The way television shows get produced, as you probably know, these are a million committees. There's no executive producer who's in charge of every second. And the bigger the company, the more people are involved. to get a script on Nickelodeon because they were complaining about how the kids were afraid of some of the stunts. Like, what? The scripts are approved by the head of production, a head writer, then the producer, then legal, and then standards and practices. At least. There are at least five or six steps before a script gets on Nickelodeon. That is an enormous business, a crazy big business. They can't risk a darn thing. This happened in 2005, 2006, 2007, when most of these kids were under 21. Where were their parents? Because the thing I know about being a parent is that I'm responsible. No matter where my kid is, what they're doing, who they're with, I'm responsible. If I have minor kids in the house, I'm responsible to let the other parents know where their kids are. I'm responsible. I'm not a baby daddy. I'm a father. F-A-T-H-E-R. I'm a father. And every one of those kids had a parent. And every one of those parents could have said, no, no, we're staying on the set. We're staying here. We're watching everything about our kid. We're not leaving. Some parents did. Some parents were deplorable, disgusting, like Jeanette McCurdy's mother. Poor girl. Oh, my God. Yet she's making a fortune out of her horrible mother. Now, that's not the worst crime about Quiet on the Set, the Nickelodeon special. That's not the worst crime. The worst crime is the person in charge was never mentioned, never quoted, never cited, C-I-T-E-D, never cited, was not part of this four-part documentary over a business over which the CEO of Nickelodeon was in fact in charge, a woman. A woman was in charge. She was responsible for the hiring, the firing, the tone of the sets, the production value, all of it. She was responsible. And I don't see anywhere in the documentary anybody quit. Nobody quit. They got to be a Nickelodeon. Oh, my God. How cool was that? They were the coolest kids ever who ever lived. But the fact that they never mentioned the woman CEO of Nickelodeon, never quoted her, never even got her to say, I'm not going to talk about it, is really lousy reporting. Just crap, crap reporting. I'd expect more from The Enquirer. In fact, I do expect more from The Enquirer. I trust The Enquirer, ladies and gentlemen. All right, coming up, you and I are going to talk about which team were you on? Were you on Team Debbie Gibson or Team Tiffany? And you at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. My name is Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
How is a 19-year-old supposed to put herself through medical school? Strippers on the loose later, Sterling, at night.
It's Dan and Becky Gaffney. Summer fun. Man, is it expensive.
Which is exactly why we don't have any.
Coming up on Sterling at Night.
Two dopes in the doghouse. In Georgia, people of Walmart. Later, Sterling at Night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain how a chance encounter on a midnight shift pays off big dividends for a rookie cop. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
Ultimately, you got the car back.
Yes, ma'am.
And you say it was damaged.
Yes, ma'am.
Who cares?
Sterling every night, the cop on his line. Talking jive. Bullets over trailer parks under the moonlit sky. Detective Vic Ferrari always gets this guy.
Over. Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a story from my rookie year. Rookie cops are not treated well in an NYPD precinct, at least when I got hired in 1987. The old-timers would kind of grunt and not even give you a hello. I knew to stick with the rookies and kind of keep away from them, but I always was looking for acceptance into the precinct. One night I worked a late shift, and on my way home, I made the mistake of going through a red light. Soon I had red lights in back of me, and I was getting pulled over to the side of the road. Nervous, I just waited in the car, and these two old-time cops walked up on either side of the car and asked for my license and registration. I complied and handed them my paperwork and said, I work in the precinct. The cop lowered his head, looked at me, goes, oh, yeah, I've seen you around. Okay. And we made small talk for a couple of minutes and gave me my paperwork back, and they drove off. So I'm putting my license and registration back in my wallet, and it's late at night, and all of a sudden I see a pair of headlights come on in back of me. And I'm like, well, that's strange. Did some insomniac just decide to go out for a ride in the middle of the night? Or was there somebody sitting back there the whole time monitoring what happened? I just sat there with the lights off, and soon a four-door brown Chevy Caprice with our precinct integrity control officer drove past. An integrity control officer's job is to monitor corruption at the precinct level. And I sat there and I said, he must be following the two cops that just pulled me over. So I went home that night, and I really didn't know what to do. I laid in bed and I said, should I give these two cops the heads up they're being followed? If they're bad guys, and it turns out that I warned them that there was an investigation onto them, I could get fired as on probation. On the other side of the coin, the ICO might have ulterior motives, and I didn't want to see them get screwed. Needless to say, it was a sleepless night. The next day I came into work, I found the two cops, and I said, listen, last night after you guys pulled me over, you guys drove off and the integrity control officer was following you. And they started to laugh. And I says, well, what's so funny? And they says, we lead the precinct in arrest overtime. I said, so? He said, the integrity control officer doesn't want us leading the precinct in arrest overtime. Don't worry about it, kid. From then on, there was acceptance. Now, all of a sudden, the old timers in the precinct were saying hello to me and shaking my hand and how you doing, kid? I went from a nobody to a somebody overnight. Inside the walls of an NYPD precinct, there's suspicion. And it takes a while until the old timers warm up to you. After that, you become one of the guys and you get on with your career. So for more insight and behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD Laughing in the Line of Duty.
All right. It's 52 past the hour. Walter M. Sterling. There we are in KFBK, where it's been 107 degrees pretty much all day, and even hotter in Las Vegas at KXNT. Now, which were you? Were you Team Tiffany? Or Team Debbie? You know what I love about Debbie Gibson, besides everything, is that when asked about her teenage success, when she was putting out hits and she was a teenager and she was successful, and she's asked, well, how do you feel about that now, looking back on that now? You know what she always says? She says, I love it because I can never, ever be that cheesy again. Now, that's a cool kid. I met Debbie Gibson a couple times when I programmed SiriusXM for many, many years to almost no credit or adulation, even though the entire programming team that's there now, I hired. All of them. Somehow or another, they've kept their jobs because, gee, I don't know, maybe I know how to hire. Maybe I can judge talent pretty good. You never know. Were you Team Debbie or Team Tiffany? My answer is this. I crushed big time on Debbie. Debbie, to me, was perfect. She had a job. She had mad skills. She knew how to tell jokes and be interviewed. She was charming. I liked her music much better. But Tiffany was the source of lust. And the fact that she went to malls and sang in malls, she was just the coolest kid. So I thought, Tiffany is dating and Debbie is marrying. Tiffany's dating, Debbie's married. And it was rumored that they hated each other, but then later in life they didn't hate each other. And I think they actually did a couple concerts together, which would be the smartest thing those two could do, because they were exactly at that same magical moment in history, 1987, 88. They were the last year albums were out, the last year you could get extended play. It was a very big deal. Tiffany performed one Thanksgiving weekend at a club 4D in Manhattan. Mark Simone, Club 4D in Manhattan. And I actually went there to see Tiffany perform. And all I knew about nightclubs, and I'd never been to one, all I knew about nightclubs was that any act that was scheduled to perform would perform late. That's what I knew. It said she was going to perform, say, at 9 p.m. I got there at 10 on purpose because I didn't think that she would show up on time. So there I am at 10 o'clock at Club 4D alone, like Creeper alone. And I stayed there till about 11:15. She never showed up, and I never had the guts to look at anybody and say, did she already perform? Because that would have admitted that I was there to just see Tiffany at Club 4D, an allegedly cool club in New York City. God, I've had some life. Who did you prefer, Debbie or Tiffany, and why? You can make something up. It's a talk show. It doesn't really count. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Tiffany. What was bizarre is somebody convinced both of them that they would have an adult career if they posed naked in Playboy. Both of them posed naked in Playboy. And there are certain things you don't want to see. Like, what could ruin a dream faster than that? I think by then Tiffany had had a kid. And you just don't want to get too involved that way in your young adult fantasies. You don't want to get too involved. You don't want them in Playboy, really. You really don't. All right, we have a lot coming up, I'm sure. I'll have to think of what it is. Yes, we have a lot coming up. I'm going to share with you what the summer song is for this year so you can look cool to your kids. Because face it, right now, you're not really that cool to your kids. You still think Mbop is the summer song. It's not the summer song. We'll talk more about the challenge of not fitting in and living the life of a loner, because there's nothing worse than a four-day... Well, no, I take it back. There's nothing more unique than a four-day weekend and you've spent it alone in your home the whole weekend or your apartment the whole weekend. That's a pretty unique experience. And we can share that, and we can talk about that at 888-688-WALT. And then, there was something else exciting I had for you. I know I have many... Oh, yes, the three exciting reasons that you must never use aluminum foil. Oh, yeah, and let's talk about the unique horror of going on a cruise. There are special horrors that are never mentioned about being on a cruise that you and I need to talk about. Carnival even admits to one of the worst things that can happen on a cruise, and you and I will talk about that. But I have an email. It's waltermsterling@gmail.com. If you want the blueberry recipe, I'm sending it out to you before the end of the show from JB Bakery, the blueberry muffin recipe that's amazing and spectacular. I'll send it to you before the end of the show. And what else we got? Website, waltersterlingshow.com. Go there. Become a Midnight Misfit. Register your email, and you can instantly download your Midnight Misfit membership card. That will enable you to decode secret messages from me that can only be decoded with the Midnight Misfit membership card. You'll also learn anything you've ever imagined that you wanted to know about the show, and I can't imagine you'd want to know too much, really. I mean, really don't want to know too much, do you? WalterSterlingShow.com.
By the way, I'm proud to be, as I said, the first vice president, first black woman with a black president. Proud to be the first black woman in the Supreme Court. There's just so much.
Usually you have to go to kindergarten here editing that good. It's not easy to find. All right. How much more time we got here? Oh. Wow. All right, coming back in just seconds. Sterling every damn night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Doblin.
All right. Look at this weather. We have a hurricane coming. It's all very exciting. 107 in Sacramento. Whoa. Meteorologist Dr. Dave Eisen.
There's only one place on the moon we sail that we every damn night. 1210 WPHT.
Things that surprise me the most about dating women. First kiss tension. Why is it the women can stare at each other for 40 minutes and not make a move? I did not expect this to be a problem. I remember making out with plenty of boys in college after one drink by just making eye contact for maybe 2 seconds and like knowing for sure that either I could make a move or they were gonna make a move. Oh, with women it's so hard because we care so much. That's my theory. Like you care so much for the first time that you are going to breach some boundary that you don't just ask, can I kiss you? You just sit there like twiddling your thumbs or staring deeply into each other's eyes for hours.
Let's go over the summer song. Let's review what is the summer song going to be. Now, I know you. And therefore, you probably think this is the summer song.
As we stroll along together, holding hands, walking all alone, so in love are we two that we don't know what to do, so in love.
But that's not the summer song. No. Listen, great grandpa, stop it. That's not the summer song. And maybe you think this is the summer song. If you have a chance to go to a Hanson concert, just go. These are the best concerts. It's all hits. They hit every note. More importantly, they start on time and end on time because they all have 7 kids. They start on time. They end on time. That's what you want after you're over the age of 17 in a concert. Professional, got it nailed. And if you're a guy and you're taking your significant other or your wife or both, they will go crazy because they will finally admit that they loved Hanson. They're insane for Hanson. They all imagine marrying Taylor just like you imagine marrying her. Or her. This is the song of this summer.
I can't relate to desperation. My kids are on vacation. And I got this one boy, and he won't stop calling. When they act this way, I know I got him. So bad your ex don't do it for you. Walked in and dream came true for you. Stop skin and not perfume for you.
It's called Espresso. And now you can tell your great-grandkids you know the summer song.
The most jingles.
All right, you and I are driving across the country on Route 80, the I-5, the 4 in Florida. Pray for you in Texas. Hope that the hurricane doesn't get to you, and I have more excitement about cruise ships and why I will never get on one again. In just seconds, this is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by that Providence judge.
But a handicapped parking placard would allow you to park overnight.
Right.
Unless there's a storm.
Sterling every night. Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
I hear you need a date for the 4th of July fireworks tonight, so I'm here to help you find someone. Oh, would you look at that? I'm free. See you tonight.
Gainesville, Florida, the home of many a wonderful strip club, including Cafe Risque, Serenity, Michelle Bushy, one of the dancers. And she was one of the big dancers at this club, but a new law has taken place in the great state of Florida, which prohibits any dancer under the age of 21. Serenity is a person of majority. She is 19 years old. She can vote in our election. She can go to war. She can do all these amazing things, but she cannot dance to make men happy. She wants to make men smile and laugh with glee. Yet Florida, in a draconian way, has gone and taken that right away from her. But she's suing. She ain't taking this lying down. She wants to be back in that champagne room. She wants to shake her stuff at that jiggle joint. A lawsuit over the First Amendment. What part of the First Amendment? That's a good question. Not an attorney, which is probably a pretty good thing. Serenity, looking forward to seeing you in the champagne room. For Strippers on the Loose, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at Night.
19 past the hour, Walter M. Sterling, driving across the country with you in the 18-wheeler. Comfortable, it's just the right time of night. It's beautiful out. It's beautiful to be in the cab of an 18-wheeler when the glow from the dashboard is just right. You have the AC exactly where you want it. You can feel the tires are at the correct pressure, and you only have 18 miles till the next love stop, where you will get a snack that you should probably not have, but it's okay. I give you permission on this long four-day weekend, or you're driving back from the lake, the shore, the ocean, the beach. The kids are asleep in the back seat. Your significant other is passed out from having too much alcohol after realizing what you look like on a beach, fantasizing about the girl that he could have gone home with in high school, and instead he got blessed by going home with you. And the reason that's a blessing is you gave him those kids. And as annoyed as he gets, he loves you for those kids. Those are the miracle. It's the 4th of July holiday. This was my father's favorite holiday. He probably wouldn't admit that, but I could tell. He had a stash of fireworks in the basement. We don't know where he kept them. He took them out once a year, put them in the middle of the backyard. He was the only one who could get near them. He did not put them in a hat on his head drunk and light it. But some genius did that this weekend. No, really. Genius put firecrackers in a hat, an Uncle Sam hat, on his head and lit it, and oh gosh, he died. Every year, two guarantees in July. One, idiots will die on the 4th of July because they drink beer and think that makes them better at lighting fireworks. And the other is we will hear these horrendous reports of somebody who, oh my gosh, I left the baby in the car. And it's 98 degrees outside, 108 degrees inside. Who knew? And yet, in every school system in America, there are classrooms that are not air-conditioned. If I leave a baby in the backseat of the car on a hot day, on any day alone, I can and should be arrested. But if I leave the kid in a hot classroom in a public school, I am a good parent. What? What? Stupid land. Our friends from JB Bakery gave us a remarkable blueberry muffin recipe and pictures of themselves. They're very attractive. And I want to thank Steve from St. Louis, Brent M., Andrea F., Sandra C., are just a few of the people who have requested that recipe. All you have to do is send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com, and I will send you a picture of the JB Bakers, and I will send you this amazingly delicious recipe for a blueberry muffin unlike any you've ever had before. And what's remarkable about the JB Bakery is they are not paying for this airtime, this national airtime. Can you believe that? It's known in digital advertising circles as earned media. Earned media. It is an authentic message. Their baked goods are so good, and the two of them are so charming. I'm like, I'm pro-bakery. And they'll be my bakery. They'll be my bakery team. And why are we here together? Well, we're here together because we really don't have many friends.
I have two numbers in my phone, Charlie and Dennis.
Huh. Well, what about all our friends, dude?
Yeah,
what
about Jack?
Dooley. Call Dooley.
Dooley!
Let's call Dooley!
Dooley loves a good party!
Dooley in the house,
right?
Dooley's in the house!
Yeah. Dooley killed himself. Yeah, about 2 years back now. Yeah, it was a real sad thing for him and his family.
That's terrible. I knew he was
depressed.
Very sad. Very depressed. And,
how about, let's call Stash? Let's get the Stash Man! Stash? Stash Man? What'd you do?
I set him on fire.
Son of a bitch. All right, forget him. Forget Stash. I don't like him anyway. Let's get Z-Man.
I banged his sister.
Oh. Sully.
No, but
Sully!
Sully!
I got Sully. No, he's got a restraining order against me. I can't go within 500 feet of him.
Plus, you know what? I banged his sister, too.
Did you really?
She was gross.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, so wait a minute. What are we saying? We got no friends?
Looks like it, right?
I often hear from those who say that they don't fit in, and whether that's in some specific way, like you don't fit in with your family or your friends or with the general society, or if you're like me, you don't seem to fit in anywhere at all, not even in some spiritual community. And no matter where you go or who you're with, there is always this sense of being just on the periphery or just outside of the group. And to share from my own experience, I've never belonged to any religious tradition. I don't identify with any particular philosophy or ideology. I'm not affiliated with any political party or all the other ways that we might divide ourselves up into various groups.
Imagine just for a moment that you're standing in the midst of a bustling crowd. People are laughing, talking, and sharing moments, but you feel an overwhelming sense of being utterly alone. You try to connect, to engage, but there's a silent barrier that just doesn't seem to break. Now, think back. How often have you felt this way? Felt like even in a room full of people, you're an island, remote and disconnected? You might wonder if there's something wrong with you. Why do these simple things that come so naturally to others Making friends, forming deep relationships, seem like a mountain you just can't climb.
It's because in school, at work, in every situation, sorry, I should lean over and touch the cough button, but why? We're alone, it's just us. It's because in every situation, we're told to be team players. We're told that natural is to be picked first for the team, to cheer for the team, to participate in group think, brainstorming. Let's make this together. Those of us who do better by taking the problem and going into the corner of the cave, solving it alone, asking for information only on an as-needed basis, we're ostracized. We are not encouraged. We're not patted on the head. We're thought of as eccentric and a little different if we're lucky. But that's when we're adults. When we're in junior high, we're called strange, made fun of, mocked, beaten up, hit, teased, tortured, bullied. Anybody who's not a team player doesn't like to hang out. The greatest mystery to me, after a four-day weekend, I'd go to work or I'd talk to somebody and I'd say, what'd you do this weekend? And I'd have to think really hard because what did I do this weekend? I binged watch TV. I watched every episode of The Bear. And then I looked at the news channels because I'm a professional talk show host. And then I'd say to other people, what'd you do this weekend? They'd say, oh, we just hung out with some friends. Like, you did what? I hung out with some friends. How the hell do you do that? When I first started working in my early 20s and people would gather on Monday, well, what'd you do? Well, I hung out. I hung out with Susan. I hung out with Frank. How do you hang out? How does that happen? What is that? What does that look like? And I used to imagine what they did. And I envisioned the 70s show, that 70s show, where they were all hanging out in the basement. That's what I thought hanging out meant. And whenever I drill down, like the MBAs like to say, when you drill down, whenever I drill down, what does that mean? What did you do? I never got a good answer. Nobody ever was able to answer. To this day, I don't know what that means. Like, what? And I've never, even though it's odd for what I do for a living, I have never participated in small talk. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to have a conversation that on purpose means nothing. I've never known how to sit with a group of five or six people of my peers and just chat. Because in my mind, any conversation I'm in has to mean something. There has to be some purpose. There has to be some information or money or something exchanged of value besides, quote, quote, small talk, because I don't know how to do that. Do you have that experience? My number is 8. We can have small talk because we're anonymous. Catherine A. And Rebecca Canner, how are you, Rebecca? And Neil Paul, welcome. 888-688-WALT. Let's small talk. 888-688-9258.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by George Gilbert.
Get delicious Lancaster brand sirloin, porterhouse, or rib steak for only 79 cents a pound at your Acme Market.
There's only one place for Sterling every damn night. 1210 WPHT.
Yes, your station should be airing Sterling every damn night. Then they will get their very own jingles that don't say that other station. But I'm just going to keep throwing them in to torture the people who run your station so that they sit up straight and deal with their nighttime programming, which they never want to do.
Well, it's not really very important.
Well, if it's not very important, then it doesn't matter if you put my show on. There's no risk. Let's follow that logic train to the end. One of the things that you may not know because you may not hear it, and that's okay. Oh, hi. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Welcome. You're driving back from the four-day weekend. Great. Maybe it's the first time you've heard this show. Years ago, I used to wear a Brooks Brothers suit, wingtip shoes, white shirt, rep tie, and I gave very powerful presentations to media executives on how to increase their share of audience. Because I used odd numbers and decimal points, they thought I knew stuff. They wrote things down. It was very interesting. Good point. We're going to adopt many of your ideas. And then I did that for long enough that I said, you know, when I started in radio, my first two jobs out of college in New York City, as I was a talk show host. And that was a lot of fun. The reason I stopped being a talk show host was because I didn't see how that was going to happen for the next 40, 45 years. But now I'm like, well, many people suggested I do it again. And that's what I started doing 10 years ago in Philadelphia on 1210 WPHT, 10 years ago. And then about 5 years ago, Jim Gracie at KDKA and Dennis Green and Mike McVeigh all said, well, why don't we syndicate your show? Why don't we put it on across the country? And I'm like, okay. And rather than what I did when I had the suit and the wingtip shoes, I didn't do anything. I let it happen or not. And that's how I've managed this part of my career as a professional talk show host or something. I don't know. But I'm very conscientious about this show. It may sound slipshod and sloppy and all of that, and I'm sure it is. But the fact is, I think about it a lot, and I work on it all the time. But I, not the cough button. And I strive for excellence. Every week, I strive to make it better. And every second, I'm thinking, how can I make this better? What can we do? How do we improve this? And I work on it. And one of the ways that I work on it is from time to time, I really set my tuning fork. I go to places, watch things, listen to radio, listen to material that, in my opinion, is the best there is. And I worked on it this weekend. Sets my tuning fork. Have you watched The Bear on FX? The Bear is a show about a ragtag group of people who are running, operating, cooking in, being the chefs in a restaurant. This is a superior, fantastic series. 10 episodes, they just dropped. It's called The Bear, won every Emmy it could. It's labeled as a comedy. How it's a comedy, I don't know. They don't know, except in the classic Greek sense, it is a comedy in that nobody dies. Well, that's not true. People do die. I don't know how they get away with calling it a comedy. Or as they even say, how can you be a comedy if you're not funny? I don't know. But it's a brilliant, brilliant show. But it helped me go, oh, yeah. There's excellence. And then I started thinking about music. And I thought, what song to me, which performance of a song is the best it could possibly be? To a New Yorker, this song is exactly what New York City feels at night and sounds like at night. This is Laura Nyro.
When this old world starts getting me down, and people are much too much for me to take,
I get away from the
it doesn't get more perfect than that. Laura Nyro, Carole King's song, Up on the Roof. Just magic. A miracle. Thank you for indulging me and listening to that with me. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Neil Rogers.
Yeah, that's right. I qualify. I'm a fag. That gives me a leg up, so to speak.
No, you can't. There's no fags in the church.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. I want you to get. Do we have a bullet? I wish we had a bulletin sounder. There's no fags in the Catholic Church?
No.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm
bye-bye.
So relieved. I feel so much better now.
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt from my book, The Fall of the Midnight Scorpions. In and out went the waves, encroaching upon the beach, then enticing the sands back into the sea with a strong undertow. Ro watched the wet grains shift and collapse, and wondered what would happen if she sprinted forward and let the ocean carry her away. Reggie would dive in and haul her back to shore, she surmised. It wasn't an awful thought. She looked over to where he stood several yards away. I'm not as brave and determined as you think I am, you know, she called to him over the surf. I'm actually afraid of a lot of things. He faced her and crossed his arms in a gesture which was half inquiry, half challenge. I'm afraid of dying down there in the Scorpion's compound. But I'm also afraid of being successful at something for once in my life, because I don't even know how it would feel. I have a responsibility to everyone I'm taking with me, and I'm afraid of what could happen to them. She squirmed at saying the next item on her list aloud, but they had both revealed too much to stop now. Then there's you. What about me? I'm afraid of losing you to the Scorpions, too. She dragged her boot through a mound of sand, focusing on the lines it formed. And because of that, I'm afraid to get too close to you. Reggie's expression softened, as did his aggressive stance when he dropped his arms to his sides. If you want me to keep my distance, I will, he said. Or, once we get back to the clinic, I can leave altogether if it's easier for you. No, don't. The raw ache returned, emphasizing the emptiness she felt in her core. As much as she tried to render herself numb to the world, she wasn't as cold and detached as she pretended to be. I want you to stay. He took a step toward her. She did the same, only she broke into a run. Reggie caught her when she launched herself at him and wrapped his arms around her waist as their mouths collided in a crushing kiss. Holding her tight, he sank to his knees, pulling her down with him. Her fingers clutched at the thin fabric of his t-shirt, and her tongue probed into his. Eyes closed, she let the taste of him overwhelm her and draw the air from her lungs. For so long, she tried to deny how much she desired him, but now she couldn't get enough of his impassioned kiss. She leaned backward, and he followed, never taking his lips off hers. He dominated her mouth with an insatiable hunger. Half of Reggie's body covered hers, pinning her to the soft sand. Her hands roamed his shoulders, his pecs, his back, desperate to touch all she'd been eyeing from afar. One of his hands slipped beneath her shirt, his blazing hot palm gliding over her ribs as he kissed her. Her chest rose and her hips swiveled to meet him. He pressed back against her in return. With a strained groan, he pulled back and buried his face in her neck. What's wrong? Ro asked, opening her eyes. His breath came in heavy pants. I want you, he said. I want you so, so bad. But I don't know if this is right. Are you kidding me? Well, you were upset, and a lot happened today, and I don't know. I don't want to feel like I'm taking advantage of you. She tugged at the longer hairs atop his head until he looked at her. You're not. I promise. You're sure? Flinging her arms to the side with mock melodrama, she rolled her eyes and giggled. If you want me, take me, she said. Though she kept her tone light and teasing, the words burned a path straight down the center of her body, culminating between her legs. Oh, I think I need to stop here for tonight, but you know there is always more. That was an excerpt from my book, The Fall of the Midnight Scorpions, which is available at Amazon in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
It's a live radio show from coast to coast, Sterling Every Damn Night. In listening to that and Laura Nero and watching The Bear, I try to surround myself with excellence in any given category. I'll go to a museum. I'll look at the greatest art that I can possibly see. It helps me tune my tuning fork to create this show, which, in my opinion, is never excellent, but better than all the other crap. This is a very special kind. And I was thinking about how to keep that positive level of excellence in day-to-day life. And the thing I tell my kids, and for years, many, many people worked with me. I got to manage many professionals, top of their game people. And the one thing I always encourage them, stick with the winners. Pay attention to the people who are supportive of you, make you feel good about yourself. When you leave their office or their home or their or lunch with them, you feel better than when it started. Those are the people to surround yourself with. When you hit a wall of negativity day after day with a given person, a given situation, leave. That's the most powerful positive thing that you can do. That's the best way to hit the stream of life in a positive, reinforcing way. If you're always running into somebody who is negative, cynical, that's not going to help you get where you want to go. Trust that where you want to go is the right answer, and that you have the tools and the knowledge and the ability to ask for help, which is where, frankly, most men screw up. They don't ask for help. But those who ask for help all the time or who say the magic words, I don't know. I've seen it. I can't tell you how many times the leaders, the bosses, the managers who say, I don't know. I don't know. Even if I'm looking at them like they know. I know they know. If they keep saying, I don't know, people rush to help them. And that's a great gift. The greatest gift you and I can ever receive is a request for help.
That was this week's Walter Sterling Show. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it so.
Join us next week at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, for another Walter Sterling Show.
My classroom should be as well air conditioned as your favorite bar.
Join us next week at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, for another Walter Sterling Show.
Next Sunday, all right? Right. Stay bright.